name of the Lord Jesus. And it's a custom in many places to greet in the name of the sister church. And I don't represent all of us, but there's several church plants that want to thank you for your involvement, your support, your prayers. And you're giving the cooperative program and the North American Mission that helps that happen. So let you know today that this Father's Day, I can't help but be a little bit reminiscent. Why is that? Well, because last Father's Day, I got for the first time a gift I'd never gotten before, and that was our baby grandson. Born on Father's Day. That was pretty cool. It was great. So I wanted to say that that does change things. God's been telling me, wait till you have your grandson. Really? I know you little ones can't think too much about that. But Sunday, it might even happen to some of you. It changes things. Now, some of us, I remember that in my teens, as a young man, I was pretty sure that I had certain goals set in my life. I had certain aims. And it was just my favorite places to hang out, my favorite pastimes. All of that is open for renegotiation when you become a dad. If you got it, you know, I think most of you men would agree. You had a little less. Those favorite things did not compare with the favorite things that God had given you. Your children. Your children. Your family. And priorities have to be reevaluated. Priorities have to be renegotiated and realigned once they come into our lives. And that has to do, I think you'll bet, with taking inventory inside yourself. And saying, am I the man that's going to have the kind of influence God is calling me to have in their lives? It's one thing to provide and put a little food on the table. But it's another thing to become someone who can sort of help them to see the direction. It's one thing to be there for them, and it's another thing to pray for them through thick and thin when they got it right and when they don't. And it's another thing to realize that as they grow up, they're either going to serve God or forget God. And you've got a little while to make that imprint. And even after they're gone, even if it seems that they've gone away from God, you've got a prayer life. You've got a Heavenly Father who's all-powerful, who can redirect their course and redirect their hearts and put things in their lives that whatever they were chasing after, they realize, this isn't it. And I've got to come back to God. And I think there were people in my life who were praying for me. My dad didn't know the Lord until maybe the last day or so of his life. And I'm not even sure about that. But I do know that God was awakening him, and he would try and say, yeah, departing with him, serving him. You call on me to pray, and sometimes you don't even have much to do with Jesus. He said, I have to know that I pray for you and your brothers too. And I said, great. I said, how loud do you have to shout? How loud? He said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you pray, you must be praying. He said, no, I just think it in my mind. Okay, in my heart. And you believe that this God that you're talking to actually hears you, knows your thoughts, has the power to answer your prayers, has the desire and the goodness to reach into your life, why would he not come for you in person like Jesus did? reminding ourselves, but even our children, that the church is meant to bless. It's within our power, but within our calling to bless. And so that sometimes means you're guarding the way to extend some grace and hospitality. You care because Jesus cares. Amen? Now, speaking of going out of your way, I'll let you know about the group you're feeding. Now, Team Oklahoma drove 850 miles last Friday. I understand that it worked out in 15, 16, 17 hours once the meals were factored in the place. Isn't it a great thing to wake up your 10-year-old at 3 in the morning and tell them you've got to meet everybody at church at 4 in the morning and you're about to take that road trip on the road? Wouldn't you relish that opportunity? Well, they did it. And why would they take a week of vacation? I'm talking about whole families. Dads, moms with their kids coming up to work with kids that they don't even know, school-age sons and daughters of somebody else, and they're going to be sharing God's word with a lot of children because you know what? God, our Heavenly Father, is still having faith. All right? People come to faith in Jesus Christ, and God's got more children. And he loves to do that. And that's why they came. And I believe that a lot of those Oklahoma parents who got in that van early in the morning and knew it was going to be a sacrifice, they did that, and they prayed for their children along the way, those children who were going on their first mission trip and what they were going to get out of it, because that is part of the inheritance that they're giving their children. Fathers and mothers, I don't know if there's anything that's more valuable that our children can inherit from us than a love for God and a memory that their parents were serious about serving God. A few weeks back, our only son, Stephen, came up for a visit and brought that grandbaby up to see us. And Steve and I both needed a little exercise, so we got out and stretched our legs. Along the way, we passed Washington Avenue and we were seeing, and there's a Christian bookstore, small store there. We said, let's stop in. I don't know if that was just to take a break from walking or what, but he wanted to find a book that he could read to that grandson. He still hadn't figured out how to say much, okay? I mean, he's just having his first birthday. But he loves to get reading anyway, whether it's from his grandpa or whether it's from his dad or whether it's his mom or his grandma. He loves that. But there was in that bookstore a favorite scripture verse on display. You can finish it with me, I'm pretty sure. It's from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. It wasn't the whole verse, it was part of the verse, but it starts out like this. As for me and my house, oh, I love hearing that. I think God loves hearing that, don't you? Today is all about renewing that promise. Renewing that intention. Doing so in prayer, doing so as a church family. Because your opportunity to be the church that God is calling Brown Deer to be, and to be the church that, to lead the way for other churches who are still figuring out what their church is supposed to be, that has to do also with being the priesthood for our family that God would have us to be in prayer and an example, and in that commitment to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know the scripture. If every dad here today, we're called to be men of God. We're called to be that, first of all, for God, who sent his son for our sake. But we're called to be that for our own well-being, for that of our wives and for that of our children. How we walk with God forever makes a difference. been God's man, and he had led them places that they couldn't have been. Not only for his leadership, but for God's leadership happening in his life. Amen? And that's what it takes to be the father that we're meant to be. Not just that we get strong and courageous and try and do it on our own, but that his leadership in our life be apparent. Part of my prayer, part of my personal mission statement is that the love of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and the leadership of Jesus be evident in me. That's part of how I pray. And maybe it's part of how you would like to pray. But Joshua, this old man that he is, he maybe knows he's not got much time left. He's going to take one last shot to get all the tribes of Israel together, the whole church, as it were. And all the heads of the tribes and family and all the leaders and the officials among the people, he gathers them all, and the scripture says in Joshua 24:1, they presented themselves before the Lord. We just don't come here to hang out. But we come together to worship. I know you'll have good fellowship. I know you'll greet each other. I know there may be some songs you'd like to sing and some stories and some fun activities. Baptists like to eat. I know all that. We come to present ourselves before the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Thank you. So this was a great national day in the history of Israel, where they were going to bind their hearts and their purpose again in commitment. And I imagine Joshua had to straighten his back and make it as strong as he could. And I imagine that he had to project his voice and make it as strong as he could, because he was addressing a nation on the most urgent matter that they could, and that is to stay true to the Lord. And the way he calls them to do that is he begins by telling or retelling the family story. He says, a long time ago, our ancestral fathers lived back on the other side of the river, that great river Euphrates. And in those days, they used to worship and serve other gods. Terah was the father of Abraham and Nahor. God says, I took Abraham from the other side of the river, and I led him all through the land of Canaan. And I made his offspring multiply. Great Father's Day thought. I gave him Isaac. Did God give you your child? To Isaac, I gave him Jacob and Esau. And to Esau, I gave the hill country of Mount Seir down the southeast of the Dead Sea. But Jacob and all his family, all his children, went down to Egypt. Long time transpired. And then I sent Moses and Aaron. And I brought them out of the land of Egypt. And I poured plagues on that nation. And I brought you out while the Egyptians were chasing after you. When I took them as far as the Red Sea. When the Egyptians, with all of their chariots and all of their horsemen, were hot and heavy on your heels. And when I brought you there, your fathers cried out to the Lord. And it seems that that made all the difference.
because he says, I put a wall of darkness between the Egyptians and you, and I brought you through. And then I caused the waves to rush in, to rush over, and completely destroy the Egyptians. And you saw this with your own eyes, what I did to Egypt. And after that, you were in the desert for a long time. There's areas of my life, and he doesn't go into that here, but areas where I've been disobedient, areas perhaps where you have, dads, and it can leave you walking in circles a lot longer than you have to. Well, that was part of the story, and I'm departing a little bit here, so let me get back to it. He said, I brought you east of Jordan through Amorite territory, and they fought against you. But I gave them over to you, and you were able to take control of their land, and I wiped them out before you. Then the king of Moab, Balak, he set out to fight against Israel. And he called that sellout preacher named Balaam to put a curse on you. But I didn't listen to Balaam. And every time that rascal tried to curse you, I made his mouth bless you. So he called out to me to do that. And I rescued out of his hand. And then you crossed the Jordan and reached Jericho. And the people of Jericho and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. All those people fought against you, and I handed them over to you. He said, I sent the hornet ahead of you. Any of you know what that is? I'm not sure. It might have been just pure fear. And then again, if you've ever stepped in a nest of yellow jackets or something, it might have been hornets. But he said, I sent this torment, this hornet, ahead of you. And it drove out the kings of the Amorites. He said, I made room for you. He says, it wasn't because of your military prowess. It wasn't because of your sword and bow. He said, I gave you a land you didn't work for. I gave you cities you didn't build. You ate grapes from vineyards you didn't plant. You ate olives from olive groves that you didn't have to plant either. Now take stock of these things. The word is therefore. Therefore, if you look back on all that God has been doing to bless you, to keep you, to save you, to bring you where you're supposed to be in His promise, if you look back on all that, you ought to have some respect for the Lord. You ought to fear the Lord. And you ought to worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods that your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates rivers and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. But if it is not good in your eyes to serve the Lord, right now, choose this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it's going to be the gods that your ancestors served on the other side of the river, or whether it's going to be the gods here in this land where we have come to settle live, the gods of the Amorites. You choose. But I know what I'm going to do. I know what my family's going to do. Say it with me again. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the question is before him, what's you going to do? And the people say, far be it from us that we would ever turn away from the Lord to worship some other gods. Far be it from us. Maybe that far sometimes. For the Lord is our God. He's the one that brought us. He's the one that brought our fathers out from Egypt. From that rat hole of Egypt, the house of bondage. And he's brought us to this place, and he's kept us all along the way. God has done mighty things before our eyes. With all the nations we passed through, all that territory, he's the one who held us in his hand. So what do they say? Sound like a pretty strong word. So, the Lord is our God and we're gonna serve him. Now catch the next thing that happens in the story. Because Joshua says, you can't do it. Talk about a bombshell. Looks like this great moment, this great worship service, and Joshua, their leader, knows them through and through. He's led them in the fight. He's seen their character. He's seen their bravery. But he knows something about human nature. He says, you cannot do this. You're not able to serve the Lord because he's a holy God. And he's a jealous God. And he doesn't put up with two-timing. And if you step out on him, just like God has come to bless you, God's going to come and he's going to hurt you. You turn from him, you can know that things will turn for you. That's what Joshua says. It is bad business. Now, it's bad enough for the world, but particularly if you're a child of God, the scripture promises you a whooping. It promises you some chastening when we depart from the Lord. And it says if God didn't do that, man, it's because we're not his to spank. He's not claiming us. She says, take it joyfully. When God's corrective hand is bringing a little something in our life to remind us where we belong to get back there, that's God's love. I mean, I love what somebody told me when I knew I'd messed up in Bible college. And I said, man, I'm struggling with God's love for me. Has that ever happened in your life? And here's what the professor said. I thought he was a real strict man. So he leans over his desk, says, John, the Lord loves you like you are. Just like you are. And the Lord loves you too much to leave you just like you are. I took great comfort in those words. And so here, some nearly 40 years later, I'm sharing them again. I didn't know that guy much, but you see, that day he was like a spiritual dad to me. Some of our church planters are that to some of the kids in their neighborhood. And maybe you are to some of the kids in your neighborhood. Met a man on the bleachers yesterday. We were passing out some literature. Never met him before, but he was a coach to some kids in the neighborhood. Sensed he was a man of God, he was all for the fact that the church was out reaching people. And you know, a lot of people, he's going to be like a spiritual dad to them. But God this day reminds us that when we make our promises to him, It is by His grace and through His strength alone that we're going to find the ability to follow through with that. So, man, I want to encourage you not only to pray and be men of God for your families, but to know you cannot do it without His strength. But He is so committed to us. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, if we, imperfect fathers that we are, know how to bless our children, how much more does our Heavenly Father want to do that? He was talking about prayer, I think, when He said that. And so when we pray, Lord, make me the dad I need to be. Make me the husband I need to be. Make me the influence for Your name and for their good and for their walk with You in days after I'm gone. Lord, make me that kind of influence. I believe Your Heavenly Father hears that prayer. Well, anyway, I want to say one more time. Here's what they did. They reviewed their family story. And sometimes you may need to do that with your families. Maybe a reunion, or it may be at home around the table. We didn't do it for some 20 years of our marriage, but God started teaching us to start every day with prayer. A lot of days will also be in Scripture. One of these days, this morning, Francis was reading from Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of God, the law of the Lord, and in it he meditates day and night. It says that that person will be like a tree whose roots go deep by a stream. And his leaves don't wither, doesn't fade, and his fruit will come in its season. Guaranteed, his fruit will produce in its season. And whatever he does will prosper. Good stuff. Good Father's Day reading. Came on another one that popped in my head as soon as I opened my eyes this morning from Psalm 84. I think it might have been a priest who wrote this prayer. He says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord. And then he writes, I think in Psalm 84, 3, as he's talking about what a blessing it is to be in the house of God, he said, Even the sparrow makes its home in your house, builds its nest, and places their young at your altar, O Lord of hosts. Now, that inspired me to end a little today on a note I hadn't planned, at least in prayer. And whatever else follows here, I want to invite you who are dads to stand. And if you want to speak a word of love to your family, you can do that right where you're standing. If you want to lead in prayer for them, you can do it where you're standing. If your children aren't here today, you can lift up a prayer. It's you and the Lord, and those the Lord has given you to bless. But I want you to do what that sparrow does. That is...